The time is 2:14 p.m. We're back on the record for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 16-007 and 16-011.
So, we have Mr. Inman back on the stand. Before we begin, though, there was some preliminary discussion between the public auditor and the parties concerning availability for dates next week, and I believe the available dates are Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Is that correct? Yes? Friday morning, not Friday afternoon. When we break, the other thing that was discussed off the record was how long we're going to go today, and so we're going to go till 4:30 today because DISSET has to close at 5, and we need to remove many of these items out of the DISSET conference room so they could use it Monday. Was that a fair summation of the discussion?
Correct.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to go from here. How much longer do you think you have, Ms. Tang? Mr. Aggie. How many more questions?
Just half an hour.
About half an hour. Mr. Keelan?
Maximum 10 minutes.
Maximum 10. For your redirect, Ms. Tang, how long do you think you would
take? 20 minutes.
A couple of hours. That puts us to about... Mr. Fernandez is actually smiling. I think he's already anticipating what I'm going to say next. So I think what we'll do is I'm going to... I'm going to release both Mr. Fernandez and Mr. Romero. That's correct.
I thought we would have time for him.
I might not. Plus, he's not well. I'm also concerned about his physical well-being. Okay. I can visibly see. I know from yesterday he was ill, and he doesn't look that much better today. So
hopefully
during the weekend he'll come in and he'll be ready to go with the rest of his testimony. So thank you, Mr. Romero, for coming. Thank you once again, Mr. Fernandez, for taking time off and coming. But I'm going to release you both until 9 a.m. on Monday. And that will be upstairs on the 9th floor in the OPA conference room. Thank you. All right. So we were in the midst of Mr. Aggie's cross-examination. I'm going to wait for Mr. Romero and Mr. Fernandez to leave the room. Are there any other witnesses here? I don't think so. No? Okay. So, Mr. Aggie, we're in the midst of your cross. Mr. Inman, just a reminder, you're still under oath.
Yes.
And you're a witness, Mr. Aggie, for the rest of your cross.
Thank you very much. Mr. Inman, if you could turn to exhibit. Exhibit number 12 in the white binder.
Okay.
And I believe Ms. Tang asked you a few questions about this. This was the negotiating committee memorandum this morning. But if you turn a couple of pages back on page number six.
Okay.
That's an April 22nd, 2016 letter from Mr. Easter. Do you recognize that letter?
Yes.
Okay. And this is a letter from Mr. Easter to Mr. Kalanayan, is that correct?
Correct.
And this is a letter, cover letter, that actually presents he's program number 4 for the construction of Simon Sanchez High School. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So at the bottom of the letter, in the second set of bullet points, do you see that where it begins the 338 costs per square foot for Okadu?
I do.
Does this look familiar that Mr. Easter was comparing the cost per square foot of GEEF's program number 4 to construct Simon Sanchez High School with the cost per square foot for Okadu High School?
Yes.
And was it Mr. Easter's statement here that the cost per square foot for the new Simon Sanchez High School was $314 per square foot?
Yes.
And that was less than the 338 cost per square foot for Okadu High School?
Yes.
Okay. And if you look at the paragraph right above those second set of bullet points, Mr. Easter also states that the Okadu costs are actual costs spent on Okadu contracted for in the years 2006, 2008, and 2013, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, if you look at the next page, okay, on the third set of bullet points, the first bullet point, Mr. Easter states that the estimated cost per square foot for the new Simon Sanchez High School is slightly lower than the cost per square foot to construct Okadu, which the public auditor identified as one of the most efficiently constructed schools on the island. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you know which report the public auditor Mr. Easter was referring to?
I believe a report associated with the cost of teaching.
And teaching meaning?
Teaching high school.
Okay. Do you know when that report had issued?
I don't recall.
And if you turn a couple of pages further on page 13, that same exhibit.
Okay.
Now this was a table that was also attached to the preceding pages. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Beginning on page 9.
Yes.
And page 9 was actually a breakdown of the program spaces, beginning on page 9.
Yeah.
Okay. So these were actually the specifics, beginning on page 9 of program number 4.
Correct.
Okay. And going back to page 13, this was a chart, actually the title of the chart is Okadu Simon Sanchez Cost Comparison, is that correct?
Yeah.
And this is the breakdown that Mr. Easter provided comparing the costs of the new Simon Sanchez High School compared to Okadu, correct?
Yeah.
And this chart also shows that the cost to construct the new Simon Sanchez High School is less than the cost per square foot of the Okadu High School. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, now, when Keith submitted its four alternative programs for the construction of the new Simon Sanchez High School, was it your understanding that that was consistent with the requirements of the RFP?
Yes.
Okay, could you turn to page 7 of exhibit number 2?
Okay,
and then I'm looking at, these are amended sections of the RFP at the top, beginning with section 2.0, and there are four paragraphs under that heading.
What page?
Page 7.
Thank you.
Do you see that, Mr. Inman, the last paragraph?
I do.
Okay, and then that first sentence of that last paragraph, it says, once a firm is selected, a scope of work and fee estimate will be negotiated to perform the required services for Simon Sanchez High School. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So is that paragraph consistent with your understanding of why GIEF had submitted the four alternative programs for Simon Sanchez High School?
Yes.
It was because the scope of work and fee estimate, according to the RFP, would be negotiated once a firm is selected. Is that correct?
Correct.
And in the initial stages of the first stage of the RFP process, Keith was selected as the most qualified offeror, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to turn your attention to Exhibit 13. This is the IDIQ. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go to the signed copy of that IDIQ. I think it's Ms. Tang's exhibit number 4. Okay. It's exhibit number 40.
Got it.
Okay. So, Mr. Inman, if you turn to the last page of that, of the IDIQ on page 17.
I'm there.
Okay. Do you see that there are signature spaces there? You see that one for the Attorney General, one for the Governor of Guam?
Yes.
Okay. To your knowledge, has this IDIQ been signed by the Attorney General?
No.
To your knowledge, has this IDIQ been signed by the Governor of Guam?
No.
To your knowledge, has it been submitted to the Attorney General of Guam for review?
I don't know.
If in the event that either the Attorney General or the Governor of Guam had comments or some suggested revisions as to this IDIQ, would GIEF consider those suggestions?
Certainly.
So to your knowledge, this contract has not been fully executed, correct?
Correct.
I have no further questions on the cross-examination. Mr. Inman.
Mr. Keeler.
Yes. Mr. Inman, on direct, you had testified as to information concerning the reduction of the auditorium from 750 seats to 500 seats, correct?
Correct.
Okay. However, weren't there quite a bit more detailed discussions regarding the auditorium, and weren't other variations explored?
Yes.
Could you explain to the OPA what those variations were and what were the considerations for such?
One of the variations was to install a what's called a cafetorium, where you put a stage at one end of the cafeteria with minimal lighting and sound equipment, but it allows the use of the cafeteria also as an auditorium for dramatic and other presentations.
Okay. And what were the pros and cons of maintaining or keeping a auditorium versus a what I believe would be a mixed use venue?
The cons are obviously the cost of the facility is significantly more and the cost of upkeep is higher. The pros are it would provide a focal point in the north for the arts programs, and not only Simon Sanchez, but also in the community.
Well, what were the concerns, if any, with regards to having a mixed-use cafeteria for combining the uses?
I don't recall the specific concern.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ehrman, does the contract that you signed, or that Mr. Easter signed, does that have a maximum cap on it?
Yes.
Is that maximum cap $100 million?
Yes.
Thank you. No further questions.
Mr. Ehrman?
Yes.
Did you sign a contract?
I believe he was referring to the contract Mr. Flores signed.
Okay, so that's Exhibit 40, right?
Yes.
Right. Did Hansel Phelps provide the bid bond for this RFP?
Yes.
And was it a bid bond 15% of $100 million?
Yes.
Is it, it's not, but Hansel Phelps was only going to do a portion of the work, just the Simon Sanchez portion, correct?
Correct.
And the remaining portion was going to be performed by GEDP and its other contractors.
Correct.
All right, so why would Hansel Phelps put up the entire 100 bid bond, 100
they
million
were,
bid bond?
Yeah, they were a team member and assumed that when the actual performance and payments bond is issued, it would cover their work and the subcontractors would provide bonds to cover the work they would do.
I see. So when, let's take Simon Sanchez for instance. So assuming Hansel Phelps did the work, it would only bond for that work. So let's say $75 million, the bond, the performance and payment bond, not the bid bond, would be only for $75 million, correct?
Yes, but we have had instances in the past where Hansel Phelps bonding has wrapped certain subcontractors. So ideally they would provide their portion only and the other subcontractors would bond their work. But if that wasn't possible, Hensel would provide the full $100 million.
Okay, I'm only looking at the 75, an example. For example, if the Simon Sanchez portion of the work is $75 million, okay? Not talking about the remaining high school. There's going to be a contract, construction contract, between Hansel Phelps and GEDP, correct?
Correct.
And Hansel Phelps' bond would be how much? Performance and payment bond would be how much?
For that contract, they would bond the value of the contract.
$75 million in this example.
Right.
All right. Now, let's talk about the remaining schools. As you testified, Hansel Phelps is not going to do the remaining schools of GEDP, correct?
They probably will not.
Okay. And if they do not, they will not, they're not report or committed to, in this example, put up the performance and payment bond for the $25 million portion in this example.
Correct.
All right. And so who would be posting the bond for the $25 million portion?
As I said earlier, either the subcontractors that are doing the work or, if necessary, Hensel Phelps would bond over those subcontractors.
I see. But I think the agreement is that Hensel Phelps will not be doing the work, correct?
We don't know who's going to be doing the work. The task orders haven't been determined.
With respect to the work between that's going to be doled out by GEDP, the intent is only to have Hensel Phelps do 75, the Sun and Center portion, correct?
Objection, that's been, he's already answered that question.
Just for clarity, I'm going to overrule the objection and allow him to answer it. Please proceed.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said.
I overruled the objection.
Okay, thank you.
Also, I'm just having some problems here. Can you speak into your microphone?
I don't think it might.
It's not, okay,
it's
this
not
doesn't
a,
amplify
I'll speak louder.
It's not, voice. It merely captures
it's just
the record.
Difficult.
That's usually not a complaint.
Okay, let's.
Then it's a compliment for you, Judge.
All right, let's proceed, please.
Okay. So, if Hensel Phelps is only, in this example, Hensel Phelps is only doing $75 million for the Simon Sanchez, why would Hensel Phelps bond $25 million of the work it's not doing?
Because it would receive a fee from the people it's providing the bond for.
I see. So, but it's not, it would not be the contractor under the current arrangement. It's going to be another subcontractor or a contractor.
Ms. Tang, we have no idea what the subsequent task orders will be. If the subsequent task order is to spend the balance of the money on one particular school, Hensel Phelps would probably undertake that work. If the subsequent task order is to paint the front door of a school, they would not undertake that work.
Right. So right now, the $100 million work is not all Hensel Phelps work. Correct? Only to Simon Sanchez's portion, based on the proposal that was submitted in RFP.
I don't know, because we haven't defined the task force.
Okay, let me try to simplify the question. We've got Simon Sanchez's work, right?
I object. He's answered the question two or three different ways.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
And also, in his prior testimony, he testified that a bond is not due until these task orders are executed. It's not a time that Ms. Tang keeps harping on, that there's a bond, performance bond at the time the IDIQ is executed.
That was his prior testimony.
The point is, though, the work is being divided up. The RFP requires the offeror or its contractor, not someone that we don't know that may be doing it somewhere down the road.
Yeah, but that's, okay, well, we've already established at least his knowledge about how he believes that the bonding is supposed to take place. We don't need to repeat it. What you're describing is more or less a statement from closing argument, okay, as to what his testimony really means and how it relates to your issues that you're advocating.
Okay.
So I'm going to sustain the objection, so please move on.
All right. The, we were talking about earlier about the development agreement, you call? The one that's referenced in the IDIQ?
Yes.
Between GEDP and GEFF, GEF?
Yes.
All right. And I think you called it development agreement as well?
Yeah, you called it subcontract.
Right, but we're using that. I asked you, well, first we talked about development agreement, then later on when we talked about the IDIQ, you called it the subcontract. So I said, are they the same contract? You said yes.
I did.
You did, right?
Yeah.
And you also testified that this was something the government would prepare and the government would be a party.
Yes.
All right. So did you have such an agreement for Okidoo?
Yes.
Okay, and was the government a party in that agreement?
I believe.
You believe? Yes or no? This is fairly recent, so either the government was or wasn't.
Objection, he's already answered the question.
The government...
Hang on. Okay, I'm going to overrule the objection. Mr. Edmonds, please answer the question to the best of your ability and knowledge.
To the best of my ability, because the development agreement is an exhibit to the lease, the parties of the lease are parties of the development agreement.
Okay, I'm going to show you what. I think I'm on 46, right?
Which, that's what I think you might be right.
Yes.
All right, so 46.
Taking objections on this?
Well, let's see where she's going with it first. And we'll go from there.
So, Mr. Edelman?
Well, before we proceed, Ms. Tang, Mr. Anke does raise a good point. What's your offer of proof on this?
All right, I'm using this to impeach him. This is the development agreement of Inokodu that he claimed the government was a party to.
Yes.
Basically, let me finish. It's an untruthful statement. Development, it's a subcontract agreement is between the private parties. The government is not a party.
Mr. Agnew.
This is a draft. She's misrepresenting this document. She says that this is the development agreement.
Well,
I've already checked this document.
Let me question Mr. Inman.
No, this is a draft. Joyce, this is not the development
agreement. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this essentially is not even for Simon Sanchez High School.
No, it's not. It's for Okudu. I just asked him about it.
Yeah, the testimony about the testimony concerning the development agreement in this case indicates that it also indicates that it hasn't been drafted yet.
He testified that they're following the same thing they're doing in Okudu. That was his testimony.
Could I also comment?
Go ahead, Mr. Keeler.
His testimony was that this would be an attachment to a lease agreement. We don't have a lease agreement. We don't have a draft lease agreement.
Well, let's back up a little bit.
What?
So, hang on. So, do we have the? I take it because. This is a completed project, the Okudu project. Wouldn't there be the, not a draft agreement, but an actual finalized agreement?
Well, I did not expect this answer from him this morning, so during lunchtime I tried to get my hand on the final, but...
I'm not closing the door on you completely
right.
For this particular document, or for this particular issue, Ms. Tang, but... this particular document is a draft. I don't know what the final version looks like, so if you're going to raise this as an issue for impeachment purposes...
Let me ask him if
you're
it refreshes
have to,
his recollection.
Hang on.
No.
Hang on. You're going to have to find the actual draft. Now, to refresh his recollection, I'll allow it, but...
Okay,
that's it.
All right?
Mr.
Inman,
have
you had a chance to peruse Exhibit 46?
Yes.
And does this refresh your recollection?
The objections are partially sustained, and I'm only going to allow it for purposes of refreshing the recollection, and for that limited purpose, please proceed.
Thank you. Have you had a chance to peruse Exhibit 46?
Yes.
And does this refresh your recollection as to the parties that were in the Okudu? The parties in the Okudu Development Agreement contract.
I object. He hasn't stated anything as to recognizing the document.
He
said,
yes, I do.
Okay, hold on. Let's have him look at the document, lay a foundation that he at least recognizes the document. That me refresh his recollection.
I don't recognize this document, but it appears to take the format of the final agreement.
Which final agreement, Mr. Inman?
The final development agreement in the Ukadu expansion.
Thank you. Now, not the construction of Ukadu, but that separate Ukadu expansion. Is that correct?
That was a separate issue. That was a separate COP. Because it was about 30.
Would you like a moment to review?
No, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know precisely what the terms parties to the agreement is.
You're a banker. You've got lots of experience. Can I finish? And you deal with, I'm sorry, you deal with documents in your line of work.
Okay, Ms. Tang, please don't argue with the witness. He is stating the limitations of his knowledge, so
let me ask you a question. Are you testifying here today that looking at Exhibit 46, you can't tell me who parties to an agreement should be?
Same objection, and she's being hostile to the witness. She's harassing the witness at this point, and she's mischaracterizing his testimony.
It's cross-examination.
You're mischaracterizing his testimony.
Well, just please, hang on. It's redirect.
Redirect.
Let's...
But he's not exactly a friend of the witness.
I agree.
He's an advert.
Hang on. I'm going to overrule the objection. Ms. Tang, I'm going to ask you that you do ask it without such a raised voice.
All right.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Inman, having reviewed Exhibit 46, does it refresh your recollection as to the parties of the project development agreement?
Yes.
And is the government of Guam a party?
They're certainly listed in the notice provision.
Okay. Let me ask you the question again.
It says Department of Education, Department of Administration, Guam Economic Development Authority.
Mr. Raymond, what page of this document?
19.
Mr. Inman?
Okay.
I'm going to direct you to the signature page. Actually, let's look at the top of page 1. The parties are identified. Do you see that? GEFF number 2, Inc., Guam Education Financing Foundation 2, Inc., and Iron Bridge Development International 2, LLC. You see that?
Yes.
Those two are named as the parties, owner and developer, respectively, correct?
Yes.
Is the government of Guam a party named in this recital?
Not in that first paragraph.
Okay. Now let's go to the signature page, if you don't mind. It is on page... Actually, it's S1 and S2 after page 20.
Actually, Ms. Tang, because this is for the limited purpose of refreshing his recollection, I believe your line of questioning should be, does this allow you to recall who the parties were?
Okay.
Or who signed it?
All right.
Because this is a draft.
I understand.
I'm not going to accept... So I'm not going to accept a draft as a representation of what the actual final of this document is or was.
The government, Mr. Inman, was not a party to the final draft, was it?
Objection, again, calls for a legal conclusion, lack of foundation, and we don't have a copy of the final agreement in front of us. Again, she persists on questioning him on this draft document.
May I respond or do I need to?
Go ahead.
All right. He stated that it refreshed his recollection. He is certainly able to testify on this matter.
I'll overrule the objection. Please proceed.
If by party to the agreement you meant sign the agreement, the government did not sign. What I was referring to this morning was they were a party because they were noticed and a part of the...
I see. So you think a party is someone who receives some kind of a notice under the contract even if they don't sign it. That was my
objection.
Okay.
That mischaracterizes his testimony.
He said
that it was more than notice.
Mr. Rangi, he actually testified that was his understanding.
But it was more than the notice. When you if you listen to his response, he said that it was also the notice and the fact that they were parties to the other agreements that were part of
that,
the government.
That was his answer. Okay. Ben's already responded to it.
All right. Mr. Inman?
An overruled objection. Keep going.
All right, so there was some testimony earlier this morning regarding GEEF being a special purpose entity. Do you recall?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to ask you to go to Exhibit 2, page 29. So it's your understanding that an SPE, like you, has to meet all the requirements of the RFP?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you to flip to page, same exhibit, 33.
I'm sorry, what page is that, Jim?
Directing your attention to question number 12 and the response to question number 12 on page 33. The question posed was whether the experience requirements, the 10-year requirements required in section 5.1.4 applies to the offeror. I'm happy to read the whole thing, but
and I'd object to that question. Again, this is going into her previous questions in the beginning of her examination.
I'm sorry. This is a direct response. It's a redirect of his examination, and it's based on the cross-examination questions relating to the most qualified offeror, the criteria regarding evaluation. We went into, I believe, Exhibit H, and we went through all the scoring. This is completely... They opened the door. It's completely irrelevant.
I was questioning
about
cost.
To do a redirect on
cost
this.
As being part of the evaluation criteria, not on this tirade that she continues to go on and on and on about.
Mr. Agnew, I disagree that it's a tirade. And yes, part of your cross-examination did include the criteria used to evaluate. So I'm going to allow these questions and overrule your objection. Please proceed.
Mr. Inman, focusing on exhibit, question number 12, on page 33 of Exhibit 2. It refers to section 5.1.4 of the RFP that has a 10-year experience requirement. Do you see that?
Yes.
And do you see the answer? Is that the 10 years experience applies to the offeror or the proposer doing business as a contractor in Guam or in a remote resource constraint environment with logistical challenges, correct?
Correct.
All right. And my question to you is this. Does GEEF, Guam Education Facilities Foundation, have a 10-year requirement required under 5.1.4 of the RFP as amended?
The offeror has that requirement, meets that requirement because of the experience of the team members.
And I think you testified the offeror, GEEF, was formed in late 2015, correct?
Correct.
All right. Fannie Howell, the offeror?
They're the offeror team. The offeror is a team of firms.
Please answer the question. Is Fannie Howell?
They are
the
part
offeror
of the team.
Did didn't submit a proposal.
As part of the GIF team.
Are you testifying that Fannie Howell submitted a proposal? My question is specifically not whether it's a team member, but whether Fannie Howell itself submitted a proposal. Can you just simply answer that question?
Objection. She's keeps restating the incorrect name of the team member. It's not Fannie Howell.
What's the correct name according to you, Mr. Agnew?
Fannie Howell.
Was his testimony mistaken?
My apologies.
Sustained. Please proceed.
Was Fannie Howell a proposer?
They were a part of our team, so they, by association, were a proposer. Did they submit another proposal? I don't believe so.
Did GEDP submit a proposal for this RFP?
They were a part of the team, and as such, submitted a proposal.
They submitted a proposal? Is that what you're testifying
as to? As part of our team.
But not independently, not an independent proposal, correct?
Correct.
Is Hansel Phelps proposal? Did Hansel Phelps submit a proposal?
No, not only as part of our team.
To go to Exhibit 12, to the last page, which is the we'll produce an essential cost comparison.
Okay.
The square feet that is identified on the first row for the different columns, you see that?
Yes.
Those are gross square feet, square footage numbers, right?
Correct.
No further questions. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Emmon. I just wanted to go back and clarify certain things. And it was along the line of questioning that Ms. Tang brought up. Using the, according to the notice of intent to award, the amount for Simon Sanchez is just going to be slightly under $77 million.
Correct.
Okay. So going back, Hansel Phelps is going to provide the bond. And again, I just want to be clear, at this point, to the best of your recollection, is it going to be $77 million or is it going to be $100
million? According to the IDIQ, we will provide 100% bond for every task order that's entered into at the time the task order is entered into. So for task order number one, Hansel Phelps will provide a bond for the slightly under $77 million. For the subsequent task orders, I don't know what the task order is. I don't know what who the contractor will be. And thus, I don't know who will be providing the bond, but it will be bonded.
But it will be bonded. So is the government going to receive a bond for $77 million approximately, and then later on another bond?
Correct.
So it will be a two-part bond.
It may be multiple, because we don't know what the task will be. As a result of the CCIP,
yes,
they will identify and prioritize the repairs to be made on the remaining 35 schools.
Correct.
So, and then based on the remaining proceeds, we'll go down the list of priorities, completing tasks as we can.
Okay. All right. So just to be clear in my own mind, then, the bulk of the bond will be by Hansel Phelps because they have the bulk of the contract, or approximately $77 million.
Right.
And then the items to be done will be bonded when the task orders are issued.
Correct.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. The other question I have, and I forgot now can I refer you back to Exhibit 46? I know this is a draft, but it says Guam Education Financing Foundation 2.
Correct.
Who is 2?
A special purpose entity formed for the Ukadua expansion. It's a Guam nonprofit, just like all of our other.
So is the 2 for the special for the expansion, is the GEEF 2 different from GEEF 1 who did the original contract?
Yes.
May I ask what was the distinction between the 1 and 2?
They're both special purpose entities. The purpose of GEEF 1 was to build all 4 schools. GEEF 2 was only for the Ukadua expansion.
Did the partnership or the people behind GEEF 2 change?
No.
It was the same?
Correct.
Okay, but it's just because of the expansion then?
The separate project,
yes.
So the bondholders of GEEF 2 don't want to have to worry about GEEF 1.
I see, okay. Now, for this particular project, we've heard a lot of discussion about Guam, Guam Educational Development Partners. Okay. And during the discussion, you indicated that it's 60% owned by you and another gentleman, and 40% owned by Guam Educational Development Partners. Is that correct? Approximately.
Guam Education.
Or Full. I'm sorry, it's Full.
Right.
Full is the other partner.
That's correct.
And then Full is owned by who? By Guam Educational Development Partners?
No, by EC Development.
By EC Development.
Correct.
And to the best of your knowledge, who is EC Development?
It's a firm made up of Mr. Lather, I think Cham Calvo, and Bill Berry. Those are the people I've interacted with.
So how did Full come into the picture?
They were brought in by Mr. Wilson and myself based on our need for help with what we thought would be the smaller aspects of the CCFP. As I said earlier, we felt like Hensel Phelps would cover the building of Simon Sanchez. And then for the development of the CCFP and the subsequent task orders, we needed more bandwidth locally.
And who is Mr. Wilson?
He's my partner in GEDP. He's also part of the financing team.
What's his full name?
James R. Wilson.
Thank you.
And so he was the one that brought in EC Development?
We both did.
You both did. And again, that's to handle the smaller aspects.
And the CCIP.
And the CCIP. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
I just have one. Can I ask one question?
Oh, sure. I was going to ask the parties if they had any questions concerning follow-on questions by the public auditor. So we will start with, I'll start with you, Mr. Agee.
Okay. Just a question for Mr. Inman on Exhibit 46.
Okay.
Which is this draft project development agreement that Ms. Tank presented to you. If you would direct attention to the fourth paragraph under the heading Witness It.
Okay.
Okay, it says under that paragraph, whereas this agreement, the lease, the ground lease, and insurance and maintenance agreement dated as of blank date, by and between lessor and blank as maintenance contractor, collectively constitute the contract, as that term is defined in Chapter 58B of the Title V Guam Code Annotated. Do you see that?
Yes.
And Mr. Inman, isn't the government of Guam a party to, at the very least, the ground lease?
Yes.
And according to this paragraph, the ground lease, together with this agreement, constitutes the entire contract, correct?
Correct.
So doesn't it make sense, according to one interpretation of your testimony, that the government of Guam is a party to this agreement?
That was my impression.
No further questions.
Before we proceed, I kind of jogs a question in my mind. Mr. Inman, so for Exhibit 46, I know that this is not the, the development agreement, as you call it, in this mess, but in your mind, is the form of the development agreement in this matter going to be similar to the form, more or less, in of the agreement in Exhibit 46?
I haven't thoroughly reviewed it, but on a cursory review, it looks like a similar agreement.
So it'd be similar.
Yeah, it's similar to the ones we used in the four schools and the expansion. And this, I think, was modified from JFK.
All right, and then, so would it be reasonable to say that when you receive the first draft of the development agreement in this case, in your mind, it should look something similar to Exhibit 46, at least in its form?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I move for the admission of 46.
I object on the grounds that it's a draft.
Mr. Aguirre, question on the substantive contents of it. He waived it. He shouldn't have. I was going to question him on the signing pages, the pages for signing, and it was objected to, and I stopped questioning. You allowed him to question on the recital. The document is in.
I'm going to admit Exhibit 46.
Thank you.
For the record, as we go, Mr. Keeler, before I go on, Mr. Aguirre, because I think I cut into you, do you have any other questions for Mr. Keeler?
Other questions?
Mr. Keeler?
No.
Ms. Tang?
Just one question. Mr. Inman, are you aware that Iron Bridge, development has a website. Iron Bridge Capital Partners LLC has a website, right?
Yes.
Objection as to relevance of this line of questioning. This goes.
What's your offer of proof on this?
I'm going to get to it. It has to do with the offer. The next question will link it.
Oh, what? Okay.
If you.
All right, I'm going to indulge you this once.
One question.
I'm going to hold Mr. Aguirre's objection to Bansky for now. But
all right. And is GEEF not listed as a subsidiary of Iron Bridge Capital Partners LLC?
I don't recall. That was my partner's website, and we have divided our activities, so I haven't looked at what he posted.
I see. So you're not aware of that?
Okay,
this mistake.
So he's answered that, but I'm still trying to grasp the relevance of. Let's assume that what you asked him is true. What would be the relevance of that to this case?
The
what would be the relevance of Iron
Bridge? There's GEEF 2015, GEEF 2004, GEEF 1, GEEF 2. Now we have a GEEF that's a subsidiary of Iron Bridge Capital Partners LLC.
Okay, but how is that relevant?
Who is the offeror?
I think we've more than established who the offeror is, who the various witnesses that have already been brought.
Okay,
so I'm going to sustain Mr. Aguirre's question. Okay, is there anything else? Okay. Mr. Inman, I'm going to excuse you as a witness. I know you're going to be traveling off island, so I wish you a very safe trip home. And I'm going to ask you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other parties or any third parties until this matter is concluded. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
And I guess for once, I basically misjudged how long you all would take. I'm used to taking, when you say, hey, I'm going to do it this time, I usually multiply that by two or three, and I'm fairly accurate. But, today, you are spot on for some reason. So
we dismissed Mr. Romero too early.
Well, Mr. Romero, like I said, I could tell him he was not feeling well. In any event, I anticipate Mr. Fernandez's testimony would be lengthy.
I think, are we taking up with Mr. Romero now, or what are you?
No. Well, Mr. Romero has been released today, so we're going to, because I thought reasonably that he would go till at least four with Mr. Inman, but apparently I'm 50 minutes shy of that estimate. So,
They fall in release.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So
who are we? We're going to start with, assuming Mr. Romero as well. Starting with Mr. Romero on Monday morning.
Right. And then you could either, depending on Mr. Fernandez and Ms. Silva's availability, we could take Ms. Silva. She's a little shorter. And then we go into Mr. Fernandez. But we're happy to move those two around depending on your availability.
Mr. Fernandez has been coming back every day.
Yeah, he's been coming back every day, so I think that we need to.
That's fine. Yeah.
So we will proceed on Monday with Mr. Romero, followed by Mr. Fernandez.
That's right.
And hopefully, if there's time, perhaps the Gita witnesses. So. And are there any other issues we need
should
to bring up?
Should we notify Mr. Fisher then?
Yeah, perhaps if we could have.
Well, we'll be upstairs.
We're upstairs.
Good. There's no restrictions.
There's no restrictions.
So, if Mr. Fisher could have Ms. Tyron, Silva Tyron, ready for Monday afternoon, perhaps at about 3-ish.
Okay, thank you.
Any other, you're raising your hand, Mr. Fisher?
The tapes.
How far did
we have
get?
Maybe two tapes.
We have two tapes.
Maybe. We'll check downstairs.
Yes.
Okay, but they are actually, we did succeed in getting them recorded, albeit it's at a very slow pace.
So it's digitized now?
We're basically recording them on an iPad.
It's on an iPad, so
I'm going
to need to transfer it into a CD.
Okay, so we will have the opportunity to grab at least one of them, hopefully two.
Yes.
Thank you.
Today?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
If you could stick around, or someone could come back. Yes. Okay.
Were there any other issues? Mr. Reagan, you're raising your hand. Is there anything else?
We're in the fourth.
No? Okay. So
I'm sorry. If you're going to get to the dates next week.
Yeah. Just to
So the dates next week. Where are we going to go? We're going to go all day on Monday. I believe Mr. Reagan is not available on Tuesday. Is that correct? Tuesday and Wednesday? Okay. So we're looking then at Thursday all day and Friday in the morning.
Up to 12-ish.
Yeah, till about 12.
On Friday.
After Ms. Tyron, Silva Tyron, how many other witnesses were you anticipating calling?
I think depending on your how you resolve Ms. Wompat, then we need to. I don't think that's going to be
so
long.
So one possible after that, Ms. Wompat. Who else?
Yes. And Mr. Calvo, that's going to be a short one, too.
Okay, but I thought...
He was offline.
He's here. I think Mr. Fisher told us that... Mr. Fisher informed us that they're both on island.
Okay, so you have possibly five more... you have about five more witnesses.
Right.
All right. And then, Mr. Keeler, how many witnesses do you plan on calling afterwards?
Possibly just one, as I think...
One, Mr. Agnew?
I definitely have Mr. Easter, and then depending upon the testimony, probably I'm going to try to call Mr. Inman on my direct case if I need to.
But I gave you some leeway here to try to try to knock out some of the other questions otherwise.
And that's pretty much
if you need to recall him, though, of course, if he's not returning to Guam, perhaps you can talk to Ms. Tang about making the same arrangements you're making with Mr. Easter.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, it's possible we could have 2 to 3.
You could have 2 to 3.
Could we ask
yes.
to inquire as to the DPW president's witness, who they are?
Who do you plan on calling?
Cortex president, Mr. Callanine possibly, and that may possibly be it. I
okay.
can review the
okay.
file again.
All right, so any questions about the schedule for next week?
Well, I guess in terms of dividing up the, I assume we're just going to see how things go next week, or I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we have sufficient time to finish our case, and then I guess also the government. But if we only have 3 days next week, and Friday's a half day.
Well, if we have to go, I'm not even going to say it. Let's see how far we get next week, okay?
Okay.
Maybe we'll knock out a lot of Ms. Tang's case on Monday, all right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
We're off the record at 3:15 p.m.